Hi, guys. We are here again. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy B.
I'm Weezy.
And we actually didn't think we were going to be able to have video
so
for
I went
you guys
to the gym
today.
Before this. That's what I did.
I was like,
oh, we're good.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't know if our guest today was going to want to be on video today because we're actually kind of talking about something a little serious. But before we
but
get
he
into
consented.
This-
I want you guys to know that we know how to ask for consent. And we said it in a very sexy way. Can we film you?
Yes means yes.
Before we get into horrible decisions today, I did want to go ahead and give a huge shout out to the Joe Budden podcast for shouting us out on their podcast last week.
Well,
it was super dope.
Well,
I think we're going to go ahead and drop this next week. So just because we're having issues making sure we get you guys the best quality of videos for YouTube. And again, shout out to our YouTube viewers. You guys are showing us love. You guys appreciate when we drop the videos. Y'all can kind of see our faces or whatnot. So that's super exciting. I did want to go ahead. We did get an email in response to one of the things that Rory said, and I wanted to bring light to it because I thought that it was important to kind of make sure we're not maybe spreading information that may be inaccurate. I know we try to, you know, teach you guys as much as we can. And Rory mentioned during the consent talk and the drunk sex talk that most men are always to blame when they go to court and you can't win in court. So I wanted to read one of these letters from our listeners. They actually said, I'm just listening to your latest podcast and want to point out that what your guest Rory said about men always losing in court of law is bullshit. Out of every 1,000 rapes in the U.S., only 6 perpetrators will be incarcerated. And I do want to say she also included a link for us to do our own research. I'm afraid that Rory spread some very damaging and dangerous myths about the treatment of rape and sexual assault in the criminal justice system. That being said, the discussion about consent is very important, and I think you're 100% right to be having it with men. Would be better if those men had their facts straight, though. I think that what Rory was just saying is that as men, you need to be even more careful. Because we know, and as we've been seeing with everything that's been going on, even if you're accused, the court of, like, shit, not even the real court, but public opinion pins you as guilty.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that's maybe something he was trying to reference more so than anything.
Well, when he said that, I was immediately thinking of the what's the swimmer? Brock something?
Oh,
Brock Turner?
Lochte?
No.
I don't know about that.
He's the white boy that raped a girl, and then he got off completely scot-free.
He was in college or something,
I heard,
right?
He raped an older woman or something like that.
I don't remember who he raped.
Like, right. No. Like, I heard it was, like, an elderly woman. Was that it?
No. This is somebody else that was on his college campus.
Oh, and he got, like, community service?
He was, like, this, like, star swimmer and, you know, just...
I mean, it's weird because when Rory said that, I think her and I both, like, nodded our heads. And it's because you always just know that there's such a bad... Like, you never get away from it. It's just this bad stigma attached to you for life. You're always going to be a rapist no matter what the fuck you do. I mean... I didn't know that until that girl sent the ad, or I don't know if it was a man or a woman, sent the link, and I really appreciate you for doing that, because to be honest with you, I couldn't believe the numbers. What was it, one in every, how many people?
Oh, I didn't look at the link.
It was a crazy number, like one in every 66 or something like that get what's the word I'm looking for?
Charged. I guess.
I'm going to be honest with you. I took C4 for the first time. Yeah. You know what that is? I am fucked up. It's this crazy workout shit, and I'm, like, zoned in on, like, everything in this room. It's like Adderall, but, like, for the gym. And I feel insane. By the way, I want to let you guys know, welcome to Horrible Decisions. If you're a brand new listener from Joe Budden's podcast and you heard Rory, every week we have different types of guests, whether they're kinky or whether they're an influencer, whoever they might be. This week, we have someone super special on. You're going to find out why they're here. We have a few different topics that we talk about every week, a few different segments. And the one we're about to get into is called Vanilla Shit, where... pretty much it's going to be the most vanilla shit we talk about. It's something in the news where sex is there, whether it be something like someone getting accused of rape or someone selling their panties online or the girl in Japan who is fucking 200 people, whatever it might be. And this week, it's about gay porn studies.
So it's something that I actually came across looking. I'm on Twitter, so of course a lot of people send me some pretty weird things. And I've mentioned multiple times on the show that I am a female who is into watching gay porn.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I know.
There's a lot of women that are into that
shit. And apparently the new study actually says Back in 2015, the wildly popular online pornography site Pornhub, which boasts over 115 million daily views, published findings that took sexuality researcher Lucy Neville by surprise. Women are responsible for more than a third of the site's gay male porn views. And so I am going to attach this link onto our Patreon account for those of you who are patrons. And basically, you can read up on it, basically talking about the psychological factors as to why women prefer gay porn over straight.
I don't even think this is weird. Men like watching lesbian porn. If women are heterosexual and they not like the male body.
Hashtag.
Some men do, but not, but all not women. I mean, all women don't like gay male porn either.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. Like, if you like a certain body type and you're hetero, right, and then you get to see two of them, it's like the best. I mean, that's why I'm sure we like to watch it.
Well, the study actually went in depth as to why they say women like to watch it. And one of the things that I read that was fairly interesting was that they feel like women in straight porn are often treated poorly.
That makes sense.
They kind of feel like the women are being disrespected in porn, which I agree to that. A lot of the times it's not a very intimate porn. I will say, if you are into watching intimate straight porn, I only like BBCs clearly when I watch porn, but Blacked, Blacked. It's filmed very well.
That's intimate?
Oh, it's super intimate.
I wouldn't say it's intimate.
I mean, but I don't know about intimate. I would say the production value is up there.
The production value is super good. But to me, they show like everyone is consenting. Like it does. It looks like everyone is just enjoying it.
Okay, so let me tell you about some intimate. Like there is a genre called, I think it's FEMM, like femme porn. You can Google femme porn.
Yes.
There's someone called Erica Lust. I brought her up a few times. And it's a woman that makes porn for women based on stories that people send into her. I think she has a Patreon. You can watch it. But like there's porn created with like a whole scene with candles and shit, like the music. That to me is like the intimate porn.
Blacked is as intimate as I want to watch. That's some intimate shit to
me. There's only another thing I don't like in intimate porn too much. I like to talk dirty in bed. And I feel like the intimate porn is too soft. It's lovemaking, basically.
It's like your hair is beautiful, your eyes are like an ocean.
I think that's why I like the level of intimacy in Blacked because in Blacked, it's like more so they're fucking their friend's friend, or they're fucking a sugar daddy, or they're fucking their homegirl's boyfriend they shouldn't be fucking, or it's their first one night stand.
Wait, in Blacked?
Yes. Like, it's very, very, there's all, you know.
And you think that's intimate?
I mean, it is.
But that's all porn, though.
They be having fun. It looks intimate to me.
All porn, besides like gonzo porn, is like.
What's gonzo porn?
Gonzo,
from what I understand, is basically just go straight into the shot. Like, there's no storyline.
I need a storyline.
I could do gonzo all the time. I don't need a story.
I can do both.
I don't jerk off for a story.
I need at least 1 minute of the storyline, then 1 minute of watching porn, and then I fast forward to the fucking. And then I only like certain angles in the fucking. So
I can agree with you.
I'm really big on angles.
I used to only fast forward to the cum shot, which is why I only watch Bukkake now. Because I'm like, I want to watch 45 minutes of cum shots.
I do fast forward to the cum shot, too, a lot of the time. Yeah.
It's just exciting for me. And now that, like, so we got sponsored by Spunk Lube. And it's actually, by the way, I didn't know people. I hate to say it like this, but like when someone wants to sponsor something, I feel like, are they not well known yet? And of course, that's not always true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you got Duce and Henny Palooza or whatever. So Spunk Lube is a lube that looks like cum. And I had it in my house. And one of my gays was like, oh my God, bitch, they gave you like bottles like this? Oh my God. I use this all the time. And like,
it's white. Like
it's
white-y.
Creamy. Yeah. It's like, it looks, the consistency is just like cum.
What does it taste like?
Oh, we ain't tasting lube now. It ain't flavored.
It tastes fine.
I'm sorry. I did taste it.
But before we leave the vanilla shit, I also wanted to note that another key finding over the course of Neville's research was that 55% of the women said that they had imagined themselves as men while consuming the gay male erotica. And it's crazy because I don't really...
That's just POV.
I don't think of myself as the male, but I either envision myself in the room watching... And I always pick one of them to be my boyfriend or something. I'm like, ooh, yeah, take that.
See, I've heard guys say that with lesbian porn. For me, I can't get down with lesbian porn only because I don't know where I fit into the equation. Like, for me, when I'm watching porn, it's like I'm trying to live vicariously through the guy that's there. But if it's just girls there, I'm like, who am I supposed to relate to?
I didn't even think of it like that.
But that's just me. I understand why some guys like lesbian porn and why some girls like gay porn.
So, like, I don't need to, you both just said this. I don't need to put me in there at all. I just watch it.
Oh, yeah. I imagine.
Now, there is moments where, like, I'll watch it and then I'll, like, close. Like, there's – actually, this is more recently. the last 30 seconds before an orgasm, I let the phone drop and I close my eyes and then I'm like in my own thing. Like I just was like, oh, okay, we were doing Bukkake, done. And then I'm like, oh my God, Wakanda. That's really what I've been masturbating to is Michael B. Jordan, honestly. Just okay. Everything about him, like that final scene where like he rips the shirt off and there's like
and that's
marks.
What you yell when you come, Wakanda?
It's my safe word.
I mean, I'm just mad that he died. I'm mad that I saw all the tweets before watching the movie and I ain't know goddamn Michael B. Jordan died.
Niggas die every day, B.
I mean, that made me a little bit sad because now every movie I've seen, almost Michael B. Jordan and the nigga died. Fruitvale Station, he died. Motherfucking Black Panther, he died. I'm like, goddamn.
Because he's paying villains, right?
He lived in No.
Well, Fruitvale.
No, Fruitvale. He was just a broke nigga who got shot by the police.
Got shot. Damn, I can't think of a movie that he lived in. Because what's that first movie? That superhero movie that he was in.
He probably died in that too.
I think he died in that.
That nigga just be dying.
Oh, Fantastic Four.
There you go.
He was alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whack ass movie.
I'm just really hoping he comes back to Black Panther because I'll take M'Baku.
I'll be mad that
he'll come
be
back
dying.
in the ancestral plane when they, you know, take the herb
I'll
and
fuck
go
a ghost.
To the purple shit.
It's so crazy because we talked about fucking ghosts in the last episode and you posted a meme about if that nigga was alive, ooh, I'd fuck him. And I swear I thought about that when Paul Walker died. Like, that was a white man I would have fucked. Like, goddamn. Like, I mean, is that a bad thing to be when someone dies, be like, damn, he could have got this pussy?
Hold on, wait, here's a good question.
How soon after? Like, is it like...
I mean, immediately. I thought he died, and I was like, damn.
Have you never seen, like, they'd be like, RIP, and you'd be like, damn, he dead? wait. Bitch. Have you guys ever fucked somebody that died?
No, at least not that I know of, though.
Nah, like, I'm not going to lie. I'd be seeing them RIP t-shirts, and I'd be like, damn, he did.
I fuck people that I wish died, but...
Damn! Well, damn, that's kind of cool.
I'm like, damn, this bitch is still alive? Fuck!
I remember, like, someone died that I know, and I fucked him, and I didn't remember I fucked him until one of my homegirls reminded me. They're like, damn, bitch, remember? And I was like, no, I didn't, but I just wrote on his baby mama's Facebook wall how sorry I am. And
oh, shit.
I was about to send the bitch flowers, and then I was like, is that wrong?
Yeah, I think that's bad form, probably.
What if you didn't remember the dick? Hopefully he's more remembered than his sex.
I do be having dicks I don't remember. Have you ever fucked a girl and didn't remember?
Absolutely.
Well, I feel like everyone sees the title. I feel like you probably ran through some bodies, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean... it's when y'all talk about like body count too. I'm like, how would I even approach that problem?
I mean, I done already said I don't really know the answer.
I have no idea.
I mean, I know my body count only because I have a list. But I will tell you, I have recently just been like, you know, on Instagram and like someone will write me and I'd be like, oh shit, let me add that nigga to my notes. And I click on the section and then, you know, I put the number right by it and I add. I actually have shared the list with a few homegirls and be like, I need y'all to verify.
Because I think we did it on air, and I was like, girl, I know you forgot this nigga, and she was adding while we was on the show.
It was bad.
If I typed in every name of every person that I've slept with, if I deleted that file, my iPad would be physically lighter. Like, that's
you run out of storage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Clear the cash.
Yeah. I would be spending so much money on iCloud storage.
I already know. So normally what we have every week is a kink of the week. And I want to know, did you end up finding a kink for this?
Yeah. One? So a few weeks ago, I brought this up, and I think Mandy was like, I don't understand how you get your hair wet, but I found out it's a kink. It's called tripasolandia. You know what? I'm
going to
let our guest read it.
Let's see. I actually have some
top
pretty
word.
Good pronunciation.
Do you? Go ahead. Which is smart ass.
Tripsilagnia. I'm sorry, tripsilagnia.
Tripsilagnia.
You know what, give me the fucking
phone. Look, he did that real easy. Tripsilagnia.
So okay. Anyway, though.
I kill it on Wheel of Fortune.
It
know?
Is the joy of getting someone's hair shampooed. It is literally a fetish.
I can't believe you found this as a fucking
bro,
kink.
Because everybody be like, damn, you like that? You like that? And I'd be like, you want to see? You want to see?
Some shit.
I mean, there it is, boom.
Well, I know when I go to like the Dominican salons and they be like doing my hair and they do this little scratching thing in the back when they do the shampoo. And that shit do feel good.
The scalp is an erogenous zone.
It is.
So that's what I was finding out. Like, okay, because where are erogenous zones? And then like that's one, and it's a very intimate place to be touched. And now I remember when we were talking about it. In the BDSM episode about aftercare, somebody washed my hair.
Yeah.
So I get my hair washed at Chinatown in this like really shitty place. And there was a new girl who was like really fucking good looking. And it was the first time I've ever opened my eyes to get my hair washed because I was just like, I want to see this bitch. And like it was just wet and soapy. And She was just like, it's good, it's too hot.
I definitely like my neck, the back of my neck rubbed, and I like guys to play in my hair. And a lot of guys women to play in their hair, too, when they have hair, or even just to, especially with my acrylic nails, niggas love it. I just be, like, softly scratching bald heads. And
yeah, my shit is short as hell, but, I mean, I like when a girl
rubs. So you guys are probably like, who is this third voice on the mic?
I have questions because I just know Mandy was like, oh, we have someone that's going to come on. They can talk about this, this, this. How do you know about Horrible Decisions?
I heard you guys on Brilliant Idiots.
Okay.
Yeah, I came from that.
And then he reached out.
Like, these hoes are for me.
You reached out, what, on my Twitter? You DM'd me somewhere. Email. Okay. Yeah. So guys, we are having an actual really interesting conversation today, and it may get a little deep, so I just want to go ahead and throw that disclaimer out there. But somehow, and y'all be thinking we be digging for these people, they come to us, so listen.
It's my fault.
You know it's his fault. But no, we actually have a real-life sex addict in the building today, and he has gone through sexual addiction that has affected his job, his family, his life, his financials.
Let me hold back my joke.
As well as his relationship.
No, I need to hear it.
I'm about to see. It's all of us. It me. Like, of course you're here. Like, you know how many people fucking read the caption and they were like, yo, I could have been on that shit. And I feel like everybody is going to make that joke like, he ain't no addict. I be fucking all the time.
Which is, I'm so glad
and
you said that, because
here,
that's
yeah.
why he's here. And he actually said, I just want to let you know that Mandy, Weezy, both of y'all are safe. Because
I said probably safe.
I don't know. Actually, I might have it. So what I wanted to start this conversation off, and if you guys did not know, we are entering the horrible decision for this week of sexual addiction. And so I wanted to ask you, what is sexual addiction?
Okay, so sexual addiction is a behavioral addiction that basically means you feel compulsions to have sex or sexual interactions, and you don't feel like you're in control of those compulsions.
How do you differentiate that from someone who just likes a lot of sex? Because I know me and her.
Well, not even
that,
but like, I just, you saying that made me think of something. When they say like the male on average every 45 seconds or every minute thinks of sex. So what's so different with that and like a sex addict?
Well, I mean, everybody thinks about shit all the time, but it's how you act on it. That's really the problem, you know? How many times have you, you know, been pissed at like a coworker and be like, I wish I could slap that bitch in the mouth right now. But you don't do it because we live in a polite society and, you know, whatever.
Correct.
But imagine that you just couldn't control that shit and you're just like, I wish I could slap, bam, and then that was it. And then,
me and Mandy both would have killed each other if we didn't have control.
Oh, well, there you go.
So that's a pretty good one.
There you go.
Yeah. Would have been dead.
All right. Well, you know, that's the same shit. They say if you had that, if you didn't have that barrier in your brain, it would be the same exact damn thing.
Okay.
So sex addiction is basically the inability to stop yourself in a lot of these things without a tremendous amount of learning about yourself and why these things happen, and then putting in the systems that will prevent that behavior in the future.
And so being a guy with sexual addiction, it's considered satyromania. I don't really know how to say it, but it's the male version of nymphomania, which we're all familiar with, which as it relates
nympho
to women.
I thought was like general, like men and women.
Nymphomania pertains to women, and then there's a male version of nymphomania. And back in the day, they actually diagnosed nymphos as having a mental disorder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women who were seen as not being able to control their sexual desires were actually put into a asylum.
It's not even back in the day. True. We actually did, I don't know if we did a vanilla shit or if I was just reading it on my own, but sex addiction in the UK is now a mental health disorder.
Yeah, it's marked.
That's fairly recent, too.
Yeah, it's like within the last few weeks.
And so I guess I want to talk to you more about that. I would love for you to just go ahead and open up to us and say when you found out your addiction and how that journey has gone. And then, of course, in the mix, we'll go ahead and want to speak on more things. But how did you know that you were a sex addict?
Well, first off, before I go any further, I listened to the last episode with Rory, and I heard he brought wine. So I had to
I had to
one up on it real quick.
He brought rosé, boo.
So
you got the cups, though?
I do have cups, actually.
Oh, hold on. Let's go ahead and pour that, because I actually, guys, as you guys know,
I
got my new job.
Is sex addiction in control, or are you trying to get us drunk?
No.
All right. So I heard the episode a while back with Asante, and I heard you guys talking about one of his live shows where he had wine from Pompette Wine Shop.
Yes.
I actually, they're my neighbors.
Shout out to Pompette.
Yeah, shout out to Mo from Pompette.
That's so dope.
And that's a black owned wine company in Harlem, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What's your ethnicity, by the way? Are you Latino?
I'm Puerto Rican. My father, or the man who raised me, is black, and he's like, you a nigga to me. So.
Oh, you say
I know that's right. Nigga. All right, let's go ahead and toast. So, okay, look, now the guest is just showing up, you know, bringing wine and shit.
Yo, I don't know what Rory, the sound comments are going to say, but they be about to be like, of course he did that shit. What do you think he's used to?
So go ahead and share with our listeners kind of your sex addiction and, you know, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Okay, so I didn't realize my sexual addiction until, like, I would say my early 20s, but like looking back, I am 30.
Okay.
Looking back on it now, I could see where it started. So not every sex addiction starts from sexual trauma, but for some people it does. For me, it did.
Okay.
So from sexual trauma at a very young age, that kind of carried itself through until or it kind of suppressed itself until maybe like mid-teens.
Were you molested?
Yeah, by a neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Were they male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Male, yeah. And he wasn't that much older than me, but he was just old enough that I was like, looking back, and I was like, that was fucked up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So now looking back, I see porn was like the first thing that really like triggered it. Because like once I started watching porn, I was like uncontrollable. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I feel bad for every computer that I've
used. I feel like every teenage boy was jerking off a lot. What made you so different? Because every guy's going to hear this and be like, dude, I jerked off nonstop.
I watched porn 5 times a day. So
I humped everything in the house.
Well, I think
I used to fuck myself and watch the window to make sure my mom wasn't coming in the driveway.
Yeah, well, I think it has a lot to do with when you want to stop. It's like I said before, with control.
Okay.
If you are like, all right, I should probably fucking
chill out.
Yeah, put the brakes on this, and you feel like you can't, that's the biggest thing. So I would like watch porn, jerk off, and then before I had even finished cleaning myself up, I'm like, what am I going to do now? Probably should watch some porn. Like it was it was that sort of thing. Like my balls were in so much pain all the time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's
Have you ever had to like learn, are you ambidextrous? Like can you switch hands? Like is your one arm tired?
No, I'm strictly righty. So there's been times that I've like
your right arm does look a little bigger.
Well, no bullshit. I actually fucked up my ring finger on my right hand recently. And
do you need that? Yeah,
I mean, like, look, it's not the most important one, but I had it, like, taped up. And I was like, how the fuck am I going to jerk off with this? And I was like, fuck it. I was like, I'm just going to have to, like, suffer through the pain.
Okay, so even with what Weezy said, a lot of people may listen to this and be like, I watch a lot of porn. I jack off a lot. What? Am I an addict? So I want to get into at what point it started affecting your life.
Okay.
Because jacking off isn't affecting your life, but it can when you can't control it.
It absolutely
so
can.
So how did it start affecting maybe your job, your family, and your relationships?
So,
and if you can delve into that.
So I was once I started fucking, like I started fucking pretty late. Well, I think pretty late, like probably about like 18, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like once that started, it was just floodgates. From there on out, like I was always trying to meet people to have sex with. Whether that meant that I was like trying to cultivate several different relationships with women that I knew, or I was going on Craigslist or whatever I could find. Then when Tinder came out, that shit fucking ruined me even more so. But basically, I was just running through people like bodies nonstop.
Okay.
On top of that, I consider myself a heterosexual male,
mm-hmm.
but if a woman wasn't available, I would end up trying to find a guy to sleep with.
Oh, wow.
Even though I am not attracted to men.
Honestly, that
at
makes
all.
Total sense to me. Yeah,
no,
like,
it does.
I just need.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's I'm not attracted to men, or it'd be a woman that I'm like, I'm not feeling her at all.
But you
but
would
I
still
have to do this. Yeah.
Oh. And did you find it was easy? I feel like it's easier to find, at least the way Grindr works nowadays, for like a dude to go down on you. Did you find that was just like, it would happen quicker?
For, you mean as far as like hooking up with men?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was living in a different place. I wasn't living in the city at the time. Mm-hmm. And that made it a little harder because it was like a...
You were in... Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was harder to meet people, period.
Okay.
Once I came here, then I would go to, like, adult bookstores and stuff like that and try to hook up with people, too. And that shit was just, like...
Oh, my God. You're freaking me out, dude. I walked in to get some stuff at this one place in, it's called Gotham something, like a bookstore, and they have the viewing booths.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was in there for, like, maybe 3 minutes just getting, like, whatever it was. 4 people in less than 5 minutes... I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Asked to fuck me. Didn't ask me. They didn't think I was a hooker. They didn't ask me how much I cost. They just invited me in the booth with them.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And I didn't know it was like the meeting place.
And so you went to those?
Yeah.
Specifically for sex?
Yeah.
But did other people go there for that?
Absolutely.
Did you go to brothels and other places as well?
Yeah. So I was going to like sex parties.
The sex parties were probably great.
Yeah, yes. Brothels, not so much. I mean, that's what's good about the internet. You can find whatever you need on there.
Right.
But
So I guess this is what also led into the financial issues you had?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And can you talk about that?
I was spending money that I just didn't have. Like, when it gets to the point that you're like, okay, I have nothing in the fridge right now, I could either spend money on groceries, even if it's like the smallest amount, mm-hmm. or spend it on sex.
And what do you mean, spend, like dates or escorts?
Whatever. Anything I could, whatever I knew would lead me to sex quicker.
That's exhausting.
Yeah. So I would be the sort of guy that, like, I would be on my way to a date, messaging somebody else from Craigslist for a one-night stand, and then leaving the date, I would be hitting up somebody else, like an escort, to like meet up later on as I'm on my way to the Craigslist date.
What's the most amount of people or times you've had sex in a day?
In a day? I can't even tell you.
More than 10?
Really?
More than – probably not 10. Probably.
I guess you don't have
10.
Enough hours in a day for 10.
Yeah, that's a lot of
– But
yeah,
5?
Yeah. 5? Probably like 5. Yeah, yeah, probably around there. Maybe a little bit more, a little less.
What about when you have a girlfriend? Do you just want to fuck her like crazy? Well, when this was going on, when you're dating someone, is it just wanting to fuck them like crazy? Or are you interested in like new pussy?
I do want to fuck them, but the problem – I think porn is a good thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But when you have zero self-control, porn can be one of the most damaging things, particularly because the way – people, particularly men, or at least a lot of the men that I know, consume porn, which is you don't just watch one porn and then you're like, great, I'm done. Nah, you open up like 30 tabs and then you watch like some yeah, of this yeah. one, some of that one, some of that one. And what that does is it conditions the brain to always find something new.
So it's interesting. I want to ask you what you think of this. You've probably heard me say the name Jeeves.
Yes.
Jeeves and I watch a lot of porn together, and he told me he's been really happy about that because an ex of his was very upset that he watched porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess because she was a feminist, and she said that it was really fucking up his way of thinking how sex should be. Now, how do you feel about that? Do you think porn made you think your sex needed to be crazier?
Well, for me personally, but I can't speak to what he was doing because I know, look, everybody, well, most people have sex and not everybody is a sex addict.
Yeah.
There's
plenty
of people.
And some people just like to have kinkier sex or want to try things that they watch in porn, which I mean, I know I've done quite a lot.
Absolutely,
like, I think
yeah.
me
True,
watching gay
I mean,
porn led to me looking
is,
at.
There is a time where I think porn can, as much as I don't agree with her to the point that you don't want him to watch it, I can understand that.
Yeah, it's understandable. Just like any,
because that's where you learn kinkier shit.
Yeah, anything could be addictive like that, though. I mean, like, look, just like the same way, like we could drink alcohol right now, but none of us is gonna get fucking plastered. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't
yes.
know what your personal life is. So
yeah, I have a friend right now who's dealing with alcoholism, and I feel bad because I'm a woman who also likes to drink.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm enabling his addiction when we're together, and
it
hurts me because I literally know like. I'm his stopping point because I know he would continue if we were together, if we weren't together. And so it just sucks. So Weezy brought up how you go about dealing with this with a girlfriend. So do you have a story to share about how your addiction maybe ruined a past relationship or what happened with that relationship?
I would say it's only been a couple of years that I've been like sexually sober. Not that long at all.
Okay.
Wait, you're not fucking right now?
I didn't say I wasn't fucking. I just said that I'm sexually sober, meaning like I feel in control of my sexual desires. Okay. I'm not running through people nonstop. And and one other thing about sexual addiction is you usually feel bad about the sexual choices that you make afterwards. Mm. And right now I'm at a place where I don't feel bad about the
sexual choices. I guess with any kind of addiction, right? Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
It's like in moderation. You go to have a drink once you're over the alcoholism. Do you feel bad about it or do you feel like you're in control?
But, yeah. I liken it to depression. Like everybody's felt bad, but not everyone is depressed. And I'm sure, everyone has made poor life choices involving sex. But
indeed.
And it may even be semi-habitual. But if it's like one of these things that's like, I feel like I can't stop it, then it's this is an addiction.
I know I might be addicted to
NBA.
Do you
think that in sex addiction, do you think it has to do with some of the sex you had alone? Like, Would you be satisfied if you jerked off a few times in a night, or would you feel like eventually you had to fuck somebody?
Definitely, I would feel like I had to fuck somebody. Like if
so, that can help. Okay.
No. Because I would. I've heard people say like, "Oh, if you're gonna like meet somebody, you really don't want to fuck them, just jerk off beforehand." I'm like, that shit did nothing for me.
Yes, they do say that.
That shit does. I mean, I'm
actually Rory just said that in the last episode.
I heard him say it, and I was like, "Yo, I wish
you know."
That shit
I'm either or. So there's sometimes where like, if I think I'm gonna fuck someone, right? I'm like, I kind of don't want to. I'll jerk off, and it's okay. But then there's some moments where I touch myself and now I want it more.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm sure for some people that works like a charm 100% of the time. But for me.
Do you last long?
I last too long. I actually don't come from sex.
Oh, you're one of those.
I don't come from sex.
But it's now only coming from porn possibly and masturbation?
No,
If I'm having sex with somebody, at a certain point when I know that they've gotten whatever they need, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to put you over here and I'm going to masturbate.
That would fuck with my ego so hard.
When's the last time you came from sex? Years?
No, definitely not years.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Like months, though.
Yeah, probably.
So,
probably. Yeah.
Have you ever used like a sensitizer type thing? Does that help?
I'm so afraid of using shit like that on my dick, like chemicals. Yeah. Like the most I'll do is like a cock ring or something like that. But then and that helps.
Okay,
that actually helps. You know,
it helps keep you hard or helps you come.
It helps me to. Yeah, it'll help me come. It'll help me come and keep me hard too.
Because
that's another
blood
thing.
Flow.
Okay,
yeah,
that's another thing that some guys can try if they are having maybe that issue.
Absolutely. There's a bunch of good silicone cock rings.
I'm really interested because like you were able to have sex with so many people and you're attractive, but like what would you do?
You are attractive.
Was your dick on Craigslist? Like how would you get them to say yes?
Was your dick on Craigslist?
Look, you can.
I'm wondering, like, I mean, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, I
if
know.
You have
back
a big
in the day,
dick and
back
you
in
put
the day,
your dick on
put
Craigslist,
just their dick pic.
And you're like, yeah, that's what I want. Was
so
it shirtless
I would,
pic? What was it that?
Maybe
it's because you are good looking.
Did you make an ad saying that you were a sexual addict that needed his cravings fixed? Like,
no.
What were your ads
although
like?
I'm sure that probably could have worked. See, here's the thing. I never made the ad. I would reach out to other people.
Oh, you would reach out to people.
I made an ad, like, maybe, like, twice, and that shit was like, I'm like, oh, goddamn, too many emails right now.
Yeah.
It feels better to be able to kind of pick and choose.
I wish we would have done that before Craigslist was gone. Like, I wish we could have found people on Craigslist. I feel like that would have been
rest in peace Craigslist, rest in peace that page.
So it would have been an awesome thing to do.
But I mean, I feel like we have so many dating apps now. Maybe you could just there's
well,
POS,
that's how we found the crossdresser on the episode.
Yeah, like she matched with him and was like, "Hey, I know we matched, but I really just want to bring you onto my podcast."
Yeah.
By the way, I do that with a lot of couples I match with. Like, I don't really meet. I've never met a couple online. Am I telling the truth?
What are you using, Field?
No, but I'm just like I'm saying, like if I'm swiping on Bumble or Tinder and there's a couple, I'll swipe them right and say, "Can I interview you?" Just
okay,
yeah,
flat
so,
out.
I wanted to ask you a question. So we have a lot of home mail in our email right now, pertaining to the same topic. So if this pertains to you guys, hopefully you know, just know we read it. But a lot of people are complaining about boring sex or not getting enough sex because maybe their partner isn't as sexually craving as them. Mm-hmm. At any point in time with your sexual addiction and being in a relationship, have you ever felt a woman take advantage of your sexual addiction?
Absolutely.
And how did they do that? Because to me, I'd be mad if a nigga only fucks me one time and then he's a one-time hitter and quitter and done and he's
like, have
tired.
You ever fucked another addict?
Not knowingly.
Okay.
No. But I was in a relationship with someone that definitely took advantage of
me. And how did she take advantage of you?
She just knew that I always wanted it and needed it, so she would use that as leverage to make me do shit or to make me to have me allow her to do shit.
That's awful.
Wait, what? Like what? So give us an example.
I should start off by saying that neither of us were good in this relationship.
Okay, like saying what? Buy me things or like pick if you don't do that, like pick me up, take me here.
It was a lot of just, if you don't do this, then I'm going to fuck somebody else instead of you. Ooh. Like that sort of thing. And because I was an idiot and because I needed it so much, even though I knew that I could fuck other people, I wanted her too. Like that's another thing. Well, I could say particularly with me is that like it wasn't enough to just have sex. I need to have sex with as many people as I could possibly have at any point in time.
What's the most people that you fucked in one time or –
Like how many
four,
like
four, some, five,
how many
some,
people
like,
did I have?
Like at one time, not one day. So one
sorry,
time.
Group sex, yeah.
In group sex, I didn't count.
Wait, it was that many people?
I think eight.
Well, it was like a sex party, so it was, and like everybody was kind of doing stuff with each other all at the same time.
You know what
so,
I really want to know? I don't mean to be rude, but I mean, we're going there. When you got your first STD, because I know it happened.
Yes, it did.
How did that make you want to stop?
I mean, everything did. It made me want to stop. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, I was like, fuck. Like, it's like, it's not going to. I knew.
I was talking to someone that, there's a guy I know. He's an entertainer. We're friends. He's got a girl. He has a few girlfriends. And he just got chlamydia. And
you're going to have to write his name down. So
I can't.
Oh, no, wait. There's cameras on, too.
But he said to me, like, oh my God, dude, I just found out I got chlamydia. I can't fuck my girl for the next 5 days. I'm like, nigga, you better keep your dick in your pants. And he's like, why? It's a pill.
Can you fuck? Can you fuck with chlamydia with a condom though? Like, is it still transferable with a condom, or is it
believe,
just through the semen?
I believe with a condom, you'll be safe. But
me too. I think only herpes, because that's the only thing that's on the outside. Chlamydia's
it's not that
on
it
the
can
inside,
come
right?
through a condom, but you have to remember this, right? Your condom's not always going to completely cover the.
That's
base.
Absolutely everything. Yeah,
right.
That's true.
And so if it's like if you have pre-cum and it's coming down, like you're mixing fluids. That's what it comes.
I just I thought chlamydia though was in your fluid, not on the skin. So if you technically
but if it's
cover
well,
but
there's
it,
fluid.
But,
yeah, fluid is being transferred out of
there. Okay.
And even if a woman has it, let's say that your juices get inside of it. Like,
inside
absolutely.
The condom, yeah.
I feel a part of, like, as great as medicine is, it in this way hurts a lot of people that have this mentality that, like, oh, if it's so easily curable, then
why do I give a fuck?
Right. There's barely any consequences. I don't fuck for like a day or two. Whatever. I just take this pill, gives me a little bit of a stomach ache, take like a big runny shit for a little bit, and then after that, I'm good to go.
How many times have you had an STD?
Just once, actually.
What?
I'm just surprised.
You get
actually,
tested
I'm sorry.
Often?
I had it once.
What was
and
it?
Then,
chlamydia, gonorrhea?
It was chlamydia. Yeah, yeah. I had it.
The clap.
And then
is that the clap?
Me and this girl, I got it, and then she got it, and
you
then I got
it, back
it again.
And forth?
For, yeah, yeah. But anyway, let me get back to what you were saying though,
yes.
about this girl that used
thanks.
That. Yeah.
Yes. How did she take advantage?
She would just use that all the time to be like, if like, say she was in school at the time, so she'd be like, yo, if you don't drive down here to see me this weekend, then, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Basically implying that she was going to fuck somebody else. And she
God.
Would. And what made it worse is that she had some ancient friends that, you know, they were in shitty relationships too. So they would encourage her to do shitty things. I'm not saying that my circle of friends were any better at the
right.
time. They were just as shitty. But, you know, it's something that I just bought into. And that's actually what led to me losing my job. At
that's
the
what I was going to ask next.
Yes.
Because some people may still be listening and like, I mean, I fuck a lot of bitches. I've caught an STD. I did this. Am I a sex addict too? So your sexual addiction actually led to you losing your job. How
yes.
did that happen?
All right, so I was working at a mixed martial arts gym in upstate New York.
Okay.
And at the time, that girl, she came in, my girlfriend, after I was like cleaning up everything. And this was like he had just upgraded from the owner of this gym upgraded from like a smaller gym to a much nicer facility.
I'm sorry. Okay. Are you going to tell you just fucked her on like a nice part of the gym in the new luxury bathroom or some shit with the granite?
I fucked
you got
her
caught?
In the new gym.
Wait,
yeah.
So you just got caught fucking at your job?
Why no, did you need to explain that it was a new gym? Just right. tell me that.
What?
Why did you need to explain that it was an upgraded gym?
Because it was just something that was like he had so much pride in.
And what? Wait, did he see you on camera fucking?
No. Okay, so
he walked in on you.
No. I got caught because we were wearing a condom, and I threw the condom out in the garbage.
I need you to get your life.
It was an amateur ass move. Okay,
sneak fuck the smart way.
How did she know? How they know it was you?
Because I just felt bad, so they found the condom and then
said,
he had,
"Whose is this?" Yeah. And you admitted it to it.
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
You know, because that's part of the guilt, though.
Too. Found the condom. What do you mean, in a trash can?
So another one of the guys that worked there, he was cleaning out the garbage like before. Like we had like a staff meeting, he was cleaning out the garbage beforehand, and he found the condom and he brought it to the head coach's attention, and he, you know, said like, "Yo, who? I need to know who did this." And I just felt so racked with guilt already from just doing something that I knew I shouldn't have done, and compound that with like the guilt from just being a sex addict and then also desecrating this guy's brand new gym.
Oh,
so I was just like,
God.
Yo, that was me. And he's like, all right, give me your keys. Get the fuck out.
So you say you're sexually sober now.
Were you clocked out?
Look, right.
I was off the clock. Yeah. I was
so
off.
See, you should have kept your job. No. But you say you're sexually sober now. What is the process of recovery? And how do you go about having a relationship now?
So there's a lot of things that can be. I know there's a SAA meeting, Sex Addicts mm-hmm. Anonymous. I tried going to that. For me, it didn't really work.
Okay.
You know.
So there is just like, you know, Alcohol Anonymous. Is it Alcohol Anonymous? AA.
Alcoholics
yeah.
Anonymous, NA, Narcotics.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And so there is a sexual addiction place to go.
Yes.
So I went to an AA meeting recently to go with a friend for the first time, and there was a few sex addicts in there.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's actually something else that a lot of people that are sex addicts also have substance abuse too, which like compounds the problem.
Like for there was a girl that was saying she was addicted to cocaine. And was trying not to do cocaine. But when she does cocaine, then she gets her sex addiction that pops out. And she's like, then the two of them go around for days because she's so tired when she's fucking. So she'll do more cocaine to stay awake, to keep fucking. And it's a cycle.
Or alcohol does the same thing. It's just like, you know, they don't have the balls to, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Shout out to NYPD.
Right. I guess they don't do drug tests. Well, I guess coke also comes out of your system in 2 days. So
is that
she
true?
Might be safe. Yeah. Weed is really the only drug that's now legal that stays in like 30 days.
Let me tell you how I know.
Look, she'd be knowing in real life.
So okay. When I got this new job, I was like, damn, I can't think of the last time I smoked. Maybe it was a few days ago, blah, 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 blah. So I Googled drugs and when they come out of your system. Weed, which is the most basic of all
that
drugs.
That shit comes out 30 days.
30 to 45 days.
Yeah, that I heard.
Meth and heroin and cocaine was like 5 days max.
For real?
Yes.
No, I swear. Literally. Okay, so you've gone to therapy. And so did you find therapy to actually help you with recovery?
One-on-one therapy. Individual therapy was like probably one of the best things that I could have done.
Did group therapy make you horny? Listen to the stories.
Well,
what if someone was kidding?
They're very smart where they say please don't make anything explicit at all. They
that's boring.
They make that well.
What I want to hear some good shit,
nah, bro. Because the one
you trying to have fat material, I guess, yeah. But you know, for people that are trying to keep their shit together,
no, I want to hear some good shit. I need to see you cry.
I didn't talk about this because I didn't want anyone to guess who it was, but I did go to an AA meeting with a friend who needed it. And while there, the sex addicts that told their stories, I was kind of getting like,
yeah,
turned on. So I could see how.
Actually, let me just to bring it back to that abusive relationship. One, I feel just ashamed just even saying this, and y'all are, I know y'all are gonna respond pretty strongly. So I had never told this girl about being sexually abused until like pretty late in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And when we did, we were at her college dorm. It was just us there. And when I did it, she got turned on. And that should have been like the biggest red flag to me just
to
be
when
like,
you told her about it?
I told her the story and she got wet as hell. You know, like she was just like, I'm
how
getting really turned on. When I told her?
No, when it happened.
I might have been like first grades.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Okay, that's going to lead me to actually share a story because you saying that makes me feel bad. Okay. It makes me feel bad because I talked to a guy who experienced the same thing and I used to want him to tell me about what happened. So I know I feel really bad because
you
now
you kept
say
that one
that.
To yourself.
No, I know. So basically I was talking to a guy and he had been in the NBA and went to play overseas, but he actually opened up to me that he would find trans and men on Craigslist. So So I was trying to understand where this came from. So he had let me know that when he was young, he was in...
Trans women and men.
Trans women and men. So he would... he let me know that he would be on, like, the... Back in the day, it was the message boards. So he said that he was on a message board and thought he had met a girl around his age. So he ended up going to this person, and it wasn't a little girl his age. It was actually a grown man. And... the grown man would play with his dick. And at this point, he didn't know if it was right or wrong. Like, it was online dating. It was, he didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. How old is he?
When that happened, he said he was 13.
Okay.
He was 13, and so he was being fondled with this guy. And it later would move into not only would he be playing with him, then he would ask him to play with him. He had never had been fucked anally at this point. However, this guy would play with his genitals. Fast forward, when he got to college, there was a bathroom, and I'll go ahead and say at the University of Memphis, where...
get to Google.
You know, but so there's a bathroom where guys could go in and get their dick sucked by other guys on campus. So it happened
that... It's called cruising.
Right. Well, there was a professor in there that saw him. And so the professor actually, from seeing him, kind of threatened his grade.
Oh.
And actually then forced him to perform... oral sex on him at the school. And then fast forward to even that, then he found out woods where you can go and get your dick sucked, and now it's kind of like an addiction for him, to where he deals with men in secrecy. But it all stems from him being, you know, molested all these times. And I used to want him to tell me how it happened, what he did to you, and kind of relive it. But I also feel like it was therapeutic for him because it was things that he had never told anyone else.
Yeah.
So,
and that shit, the cruising spots, like gay cruising spots, like that shit is like, just the subculture around that is like ridiculous. Just like
public gay cruising.
Public
spots.
Gay cruising. Yeah.
So there's a thing, I think I've talked about it on the show before, where one of my gays was coming in town and he Googled.
You call them your gays?
One of my gays. Yeah.
They're mine. They have other women that are friends, but like, no.
My gays.
They're mine.
How very Trump of you.
Shit.
You know what?
My Mexicans?
Yeah, these like are that? My blacks.
They're
here.
My husbands?
I'm very sure of you. I hate you, bro.
I'm going to let this one go.
I say that with love.
There are a lot of places that I want to go right now, but I won't because I'm being nice because you are a guest.
That brought us rosé. Hey. But,
yes, I'll shut up. So, yeah, my gays, my girls, my guys. So my gays come in town and they're like, bitch, we're going on this site. We've been hearing about it, and it's where you can find gyms in New York to get your dick sucked.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
So, like, Googled gay steam rooms, just, like, Googled it, and, like, there's a whole fucking site that comes up that will just tell you all the spots to go. One of them specifically is the Financial District Equinox.
You said this gym, before. Yes.
Gyms in general, just like.
So we went. We paid the day pass.
I ain't going to go to the gym no more.
Don't go to a gym in Chelsea, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, they're sucking cock.
They're sucking dick in Chelsea.
Okay.
See, none of my niggas can go to the gym now. You better go play basketball on the court where everybody can
but
see you.
But here's the thing. Vinny used to tell me a story, and Vinny was one of my best friends we've had on the show. I was telling him about it. I was like, is this true with the steam rooms? He's like, girl, yeah. Like, why else do you think I work
absolutely,
out?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. What? But it's not even just that,
circle
though.
Jerks, there's, like, it, people that want to be watched, everything.
Yeah, yeah, for real. But it's not even just gyms, though. Like, there's, like, public parks. I don't want to, like say the names of everything because, like, I feel like, you know.
Just
you
don't want it. Just one part. One part.
Like, how would it go? Like, a bench at a park? Like, a location at
is
park?
There, like, a under a certain tree you can get your dick
oh,
sucked?
Oh, no,
like,
it's not that. I'm talking about the whole park. Like, you can go to specific parks at specific times.
Which
and
one?
And there's just dudes, like, walking around.
I need
around
one, nigga.
Like
I
want to
go see somebody getting their dick sucked.
What's that park in Inwood? Like, way, way.
Oh,
way.
I don't know about
yeah,
that.
See, there you go.
Like,
see?
I, go
I know Washington Square and Central.
You know, I don't want to go all the way to Dykeman
I mean,
to see
I'm
some
sure,
dick sucking.
I'm sure there's probably cruising going on in Central Park, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Washington Square is a little small. That shit probably isn't happening.
I'm sure. I don't found.
I got fingered in Washington Square Park.
Did you know the guy beforehand? Or did you just like?
Yeah. Oh my god! You remember that time those twin basketball players?
I remember white guys.
Oh,
of course
they were friends.
But no, it's crazy because I tried.
Were they uncircumcised?
Of course, they all are. I mean,
I don't remember they were just touching me.
I just wanted to fulfill the stereotype of just, like, uncircumcised.
They walked me home from the bar, so I kind of
Wait, weren't you
them.
The one that was saying that you don't...
That's me. I don't like turtleneck dicks.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, no, I like it.
She likes the skin. She knows, like, the sensitivity
level. I'm not discriminatory. From what you guys might think, I've read so many things about me. Like, oh, fuck Wheezy. She only fuck...
Maybe, like...
I'll fuck any kind of dick. Pink, kind of dark, kind of light.
Was it on your live that you were saying that it feels like a shake weight or something?
Yes, he was on my...
You said that?
Yes, I said, like, uncircumcised dick feels like a shake weight. Like, you know when you're shaking it, the skin just be moving.
But it's really, really different. Like, it's all different types of... It could either be a lot. It could either be a little. It could be a total Sharpay. Not. It's like a popsicle with a surprise.
Well, look, I am circumcised, but I do feel like the stigma that we have culturally about uncircumcised dicks is kind of fucked up because it is.
Oh yeah, everywhere,
it is genital mutilation. Everywhere
else, yeah, it is. Well, it's crazy.
Especially when it happens
that.
As a kid.
It's crazy because you said that because I actually wanted to get into our home mail for the episode.
We're gonna read that.
Well, I'm reading too, but I did want to read that because my friend actually is offering her free therapy for that. So I'm
awesome because the girl that wrote that question in and I have been DMing.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask one before we get to that. But for the home mail for this episode, the subject line says bisexual or gay. And I thought that this was a good question that maybe you could hone in on, specifically because you identify as straight. So it says, hey, Mandy and Wheezy, I just recently started listening to the podcast via SoundCloud. I'm totally loving the show. I have this curiosity since 2013 New Year's Eve when this guy who
that's
happened
so
to...
so specific.
Yes,
God
so,
damn.
Like, nigga, no.
Did
like,
say
and that's when I turned gay.
2013 New Year's Eve when this guy...
Hey, like, y'all, by Outkast
I've been
kind of
gay for 5 years. You know?
And I need to know. He said, when this guy who happened to be bisexual started kissing me and one thing led to another. Due to the fact that I was drunk... All I remember is him on top of me trying to get my dick inside of his booty hole, but it was not getting any hard. So in the morning, it was whatever. I guess that means in the morning it was hard for morning wood. I don't know. He doesn't classify. So ever since then, I've been looking up gay porn and it gets me hard as fuck. I've tried giving head and getting a cock in my ass. It was not nice and uncomfortable. But I enjoy getting head from guys. I've never fucked a guy before, but I would like to try. I fuck chicks, and I love that. So my curiosity is, does watching gay porn and getting head from guys make me gay or bi?
Yeah,
it's crazy because I know all these niggas listening, yeah. Gay! Yeah,
for real.
Gay! But what would you say... How should he classify? Because clearly I feel like he's having a psychological malfunction with how he should identify now.
Well, I'm going to say, first off, I know that all those, like, ultra-hetero male listeners, they're going to discount whatever I say because I already said that I've had sexual encounters with a man. So,
right.
Like, of course this gay-ass nigga would say that it's not gay.
As long as you know.
Oh, I know. They were mad at me for that trans comment where I was like, liking trans women doesn't make you gay.
But that's real, though. I've been with trans women, and, like, there's something very specific that y'all said that I really, really appreciated, which is there's a reason why gay men aren't attracted to trans women.
Like I said when I claimed them, my gays have never been with a trans woman. Yeah. It's because they don't want to be with a woman.
They don't want to be with a woman.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another thing you said that was wrong, actually, was that most trans women end up being tops, specifically with escorts.
I didn't say... Well, yes, I did. So on average, I was reading this, so it's not like wrong or right, but from reading articles, like confessions of trans women, like female escorts, generally, they said that they're topping because the men are playing out a fantasy.
Oh,
because
they want to be top. Yeah,
wait,
yeah. But that doesn't mean that they would choose to be tops.
Not choosing, but I'm saying the escorts are doing way more topping. And even in relationships with men that they're starting to date, which is why they think they're being fetishized, they're doing the topping. Whether they want to be fucked or not, they're generally doing topping, always. Either it's couples, heterosexual couples that they're sleeping with that want them to top one or the other, but... generally don't want to get
it's fucked. Crazy that you guys say that because so I actually went to Fairy Tales. So I mentioned this with the swinger episode, and so it's a transsexual strip club in New York City. So I went there last night, and it was crazy because of course I talked to them because I was like, I have a podcast, I need to know what's going on. So they actually said majority of them don't even sleep with women, and not many of them are bisexual. Mm-hmm. They prefer only men.
Exactly.
And all of these straight men because they identify as straight, all of the straight men that I know who have been with trans women, trans women?
Yes.
Yes, trans women. Mm-hmm. They have topped them. So they have not bottomed a trans woman. They've topped them. So
yeah,
I mean,
and when I've been with trans women, I've been strictly a top. Yeah.
Strictly a top. Okay, so I guess for this listener, I would like to say, and it's something that we've said often on the show, I don't think you have to put yourself into any of these boxes. I feel like you're trying to find what box you fit in. And if you want to identify as straight, you can. If you want to say you're bi, you can. If you want to say you're gay, I wouldn't put you in that box because you're still fucking and enjoying women. So you're not just a one-track mind, mm-hmm. but there are straight men or people, men who identify as straight that do like their dick sucked by men. And I know quite a lot of them, actually. they won't kiss a man. They won't be intimate with a man. They would never date a man, and they would never fuck or get fucked. But I know a lot of men who enjoy receiving head from other men.
But I wouldn't necessarily say that makes them gay, though.
Like, the kissing part is hilarious. Like, just saying, like, they won't kiss a man.
I know, because
like,
because they bring that to my attention. It's so weird. They bring it
to my attention. What does that make you more gay?
I mean, if kissing you're intimate, is intimate as hell.
Kissing is intimate as fuck,
but just, like, it's stupid. You're getting your dick sucked by a dude, so, like, what, are you going to kiss him now? Are we going to be more mad? You sharing blunts with niggas? Like, right. I don't even understand this. This is so stupid. And I'm so tired of all y'all needing to fucking figure out what you are.
Don't do it.
Well, yeah, give a fuck.
It's not necessary.
I mean, I think there's something important about, like, it's... I hear people say, like, oh, labels are limiting and stuff like that. Well, labels also just help you identify shit. If you went to the supermarket and you wanted to get a fucking box of fucking...
what are you saying? You're an omnivore? You like right. Just like vegetables and meat, bro.
Yeah,
just
eat
them both.
I'm saying whatever. Like, well, look, the example. Imagine you go into the supermarket. You want some fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but every box of cereal is just a plain white box that says cereal. That's when you realize how important labels are. Labels aren't necessarily...
So what, are you a fruit because you want the sugar cereals?
No, I'm saying it's just...
Yes.
While it's important to know that labels can be flexible, labels also are there to help you identify. So what culture dictates as gay, I wouldn't say that this man is gay. He is somebody that may like some things that are on that side of the spectrum, but I would say that's more bi than anything.
Okay. But before we get out of here, I wanted to read this last home mail. It says, "Hi, ladies. I wanted to ask a request from you both. I watch your show and listen to your podcast. Literally, I've watched all episodes. I'm from a very strict Muslim/African family, but the more I've listened to you both, the more I've started to look at sex, and more importantly, myself, a lot differently. Just a little background about myself. I'm a teacher, studied in California, and now live in London. I've been a virgin up to the age of 26, and I've had FGM, which is female genital mutilation," which is interesting because we just talked about circumcision being mutilization. "This is the partial or complete removal of the clit. Therefore, I have no clit, nothing, nada," and those have exclamation points after them. "I don't know how to be comfortable with men in bed, and I've never orgasmed in my life, never," which is crazy because we had someone write in saying they couldn't stop orgasming. So pick which, you know, end of the sword you like to fall on. "It hurts me to write this, but it's true. I don't know how it feels like, and when I watch you guys talk about sex, I feel like I'm living through you guys. So wanted to say thank you so much. Your show means a lot to a lot of people around the world, and I hope you both know this. I wanted to write and say thank you so much for writing in. It's letters like this that literally help me and Weezy know that we're in the right path with the trajectory of this show and the purpose of this show.
Absolutely.
I also wanted to know that if anyone in New York City happens to have female genital mutilization and would like to come on and speak on it.
Mutilation.
There ain't no Z. But if any of you guys have FGM and would like to come onto the show, please reach out to our email at horribledecisions@gmail.com.
So she hit me up via DM, and she says that she knows a few women, whether visiting New York or, like, knows some in New York. And
I would
said
love
they would
to
be
bring
love
them
to come
on.
So following this, the doctor that we both go to, the gyno, actually called her office.
Wow.
And got her personal email and asked and explained everything. Was like, hey, I want to bring someone on. Can you help us talk her through this? Talk about how to have vaginal orgasms possibly if she's comfortable. Then I hit up a sex therapist. Like,
that's fantastic.
Only because, you know, people write in with random questions all the time, but I thought this was so important and you never know who's listening. Mm-hmm. And like, can you imagine losing your clit? Like, I'm watching Handmaid's Tale and they're doing that as punishment.
Yeah, man.
That's all I play with when I watch porn is my clit. I have T-Rex arms, so I can't reach to finger myself inside my pussy. Because my hands, it just don't work that way. So I actually only play with my clit. So when I read this, I was just, I felt bad, like kind of sad. Like, oh my God, how? But
yeah,
that
shit is heartbreaking.
But I have penetration orgasms. Like I come off being penetrated. So I have had orgasms without stimulation of my clit. So I know it's possible for her. I do want to sit here and give a shout out to my friend Natalie. Natalie is a sexologist and hypnotherapist that transform you from sexually conservative to sexually empowered. Most of her clients have been through illness, abuse, shame and guilt, painful sex, sexual dysfunction, and are looking to be freed. She uses a combination of sex coaching and hypnotherapy to achieve this. She recently created the first deck of sexuality affirmation cards on the market. If any of you guys are going to the Slut Walk in LA, she's actually going to have a booth there. They help women reconnect with their body, restore their femininity, and reclaim the sexuality. For the sexually empowered and confident woman, she has a line of merchandise with her tagline, Orgasm Queen. They can be found at www.lovechatwithnat.com under shop. This is a good friend of mine from when I lived in Miami, and I love what she's doing. And so if any of you guys feel like you are having shame from sexual trauma, or that you're not comfortable with talking about sex, or feeling sexually liberated as a woman, check out Love Chat with Nat. She does do her hypnosis over the phone or remotely if you guys are looking to do that. So again, shout out to Love Chat with Nat. And I want to thank again our guest for coming. Rich, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And by the way, y'all that write in and are like, oh, we listen to the show, have me on. Me and my wife are crazy. Like, are you crazy like that?
Right.
We had like listeners on, but like, goddamn.
Yeah, so
I want to plug a resource for people that might think they are sex addicts.
Please, go ahead and plug that, please.
There is a website, I think it's called recoveryzone.com. If you just Google sex addiction quiz, that's the first link that comes up. And it has a questionnaire. I think it's about like 50, 60 questions long. They have a free version and a paid version.
That's not real.
And you could see how deep into the spectrum of sexuality you may fall as far as like not very sexually conservative or this is concerning.
I might need to take that quiz just because.
We
should probably take that quiz.
It's on a scale of 1 to 20.
Let's take the quiz.
It's on a scale of 1 to 20, and I think at 6 is when you start getting to that threshold. I'm probably at least
18, nigga. In a bathroom, yes. I have to go to sleep from masturbating. Like, I don't have the same sleep. I have to come and feel tired to go to sleep. So I literally masturbate every single night. Even on my period, I'll just put a towel on my bed.
I'm gonna call it right now. I'm gonna say you guys are between an 8 and a 10.
Nigga, only 8 and it go to 20?
You don't know the questions, though. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
Like, would you rather eat a dick or a pizza?
Not like, what?
Is that the type of question?
That'd be my quiz.
What if you want a dick and a pizza?
I'll eat that.
Yeah.
I'd eat the pizza while I'm getting fucked from the bag.
There you go.
I'm not going to ride. Y'all know I don't ride. Yeah. But anyway.
I got one more thing to plug. This is personal shit. I also have my own podcast, too. Everybody got a fucking podcast.
Podcast, motherfucker.
No.
You ain't say nothing about no podcast.
I got my own podcast.
It's completely unrelated to sex. It's nothing at all.
As I said, I
do mixed martial arts. I've been training in boxing, MMA, all this other stuff for a very long time. And I have a show called Super Upper Punch that is about.
It's a cool name.
Thank you very much.
I do like the name.
It's about martial arts and combat sports. What's different about this from a lot of other shows that talk about like fights and stuff is I talk with people that are involved with like the more people-facing side of it. It's like I had somebody on that runs a grappling tournament that raises money for cancer research. Somebody else that has a donation-based jiu-jitsu gym. Things like that. So check it out. It's called Super Upper Punch. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher.
Super Upper Punch. And you're also very articulate, and I think that our listeners
Also very articulate.
That is not articulate as fuck, huh? I be fucking up all my words, but I'm also on Rosé, and I just worked already a 9-hour shift.
By the way, I have to leave back to the office. I poured 2 glasses, and
she's not a drinker. I am impressed as fuck, but it's also because she's about to record another episode, and there's a strong black man standing in the corner.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm just saying.
By the way, you guys, we are at Gotham Podcast Studio, 100 Church Street. If you ever need a place in New York to record your show, if you want to invite us on as guests, come through here. It's a great place to record. They also have video, and I'm doing their seminar on, when is it, Matt? The 15th? September 15th. Tickets will be out by the time you guys see this episode. Watch this episode. Listen to this episode. You can check out my page, Wheezy WTF, and get some tickets
also,
to come
learn
how to do a
pod. They also do one-offs, guys. So I was just on a podcast who recorded here called Two and a Possible. She called me out because she knew that I only went on the podcast because she was fine. So I was trying to holler just to find out she lived in Orlando. And literally, she comes up to New York once a month.
That's the girl who...
She's so... Yes, bitch.
She
so,
asked me. She was
yeah,
late.
Bitch. Well, that's who I ran to after we recorded with Rory.
She could crash at your place.
I literally called her. I was like, bitch, the only reason I came on this podcast because you was fine. Just for her to tell me she lives in Orlando. Lives in Orlando, and every time she comes to New York, which is once a month, she records all of her episodes here at Gotham Podcast.
She's going to have a place to stay.
And here goes the sex addict.
Oh, I thought you were the one offering
I'm saying you. You should be like, why spend all that money
she's
on a
very
hotel
vanilla. And... So if you guys want to listen
to
an episode.
Well, then why would I
want to
go on that
she's
shit?
She's very vanilla. Okay. I was sad. Well, Ann had a boyfriend. I said, bitch, you should have told me this in the DM. I wouldn't have came. But if you guys want to listen to a very vanilla kind of response to kind of sex, I was on a podcast called Two and a Possible, so that should be dropping soon.
Missionary only through a sheet.
It was a super cute.
I'll be honest, Two and a Possible feels like two and a possible
this is
unicorn.
Our show, Two and a Possible, bitch. We be having us two and a possible. We all know who the fuck we
what's
bring
a possible
in. The possible is the guest.
But why are they called the possible?
Because two and a possible.
This
like,
is going to be a real long conversation.
Wait. Do you not play spades? Have you never played spades?
Don't take my black card, bro.
Oh,
go.
Your black card is removed, sis. Two and a possible.
Shut your ass up. Right?
The black guy in the room is shaking his head.
So you know how to play spades?
Yes.
You play it with a white girl,
you
be fucking too?
Has to know how to play spades.
I saw a meme that said black people never teach you how to play spades.
You gotta,
the only thing they
come
do
out
when
the pussy
you tell them you don't know
play
is repeat. Oh, you don't know how to play?
That's very
it.
True.
That's it. Well, we're going to teach you how to play
spades. I don't know
spades
what the Puerto Rican equivalent
but
of that is.
But before 2018 is over, Wheezy will get in a game of spades. She won't be my partner, but I'll make sure she learns how to play.
I'll show a 10.
Anyways, guys, thank you, Rich, so much
for
coming on. I hate you. Of course you will. You know. Well, shit. They're new. You paid for them. You may
I'm
as well.
They're not new. They're 5 years old, bitch. They're toddlers.
I mean, toddler tits.
They're anyway, broken in.
Thanks for coming on to the episode, Rich. We appreciate you.
Thank
if you,
you
guys have any questions, again, want to reach out to us, you guys can always follow us on our Instagram at horrible_decisions. You can follow me at Full Court Pumps everywhere. And where can they follow you, Wheezy?
Don't follow me.
Don't follow her. All right, that's fine, too. Go ahead and also follow our Twitter at horriblepod, which is ran by Wheezy. So for all of y'all who keep asking me about why Wheezy ain't got a Twitter, she follows the Horrible Pod page. So if you guys want
to
tweet her.
While you're walking out, I want to thank everybody. I was giving away some back-to-school stuff. I always try to start a chain of donations, whether it be back-to-school shit or Christmas.
Yeah, that was the move.
Thank you so much. I only spent a few $100s. But so much money donated from different men and women. I'm like trying to think of all the names, but it was so many of you. I'll try to shout you guys out in a description or something. But sending kids backpacks, clothes, everything. I had a girl write me that listens to our show, Mandy. This is no bullshit. She lives in her car. It's been the last 3 months. This is just, it is what it is. Her kids stay with her family and she goes to pick them up in and out of her car. And she says when she's driving around, she listens to our show. Fucking
oh wow
me.
Yeah, that's deep. Like we the letters that we get from our listeners are
it's amazing,
like,
but
it's
thank
touching
you guys, that really helped me with that. If you guys ever want to start an Instagram chain, all I did was just offer to give things to my followers and other followers wanted to help, and we ended up helping 65 kids, which isn't a lot, but is a crazy amount of
that's a really
so I'm really,
really
grateful
amount
for you guys. Thank you for being listeners and wanting to help me in my ventures too, and we love you. And we don't always do whole shit, you know what I'm saying? Some kids some
we read books, we give donations, we support fucking charities and shit. We out here trying to let y'all know, hoes do the goddamn thing.
You don't have to do everything as a hoe. Yeah.
Well, no.
You can be a social justice person.
We used our last live show and donated to Survive to Thrive Global, which helps domestic victims. Domestic assault. I'm drunk. I now got to go back to work, so this is not good. Guys, I'm actually running out of here. It's busy season, so it is now 8 o'clock at night, and I'm running back to the office.
Bye.
But bye. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Who cares?
Bye. Peace. Yeah, ho.